All right, we are going to move into our teaching portion of our service, and we'll begin by our scripture reading. So let me read for us from John chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sarah. Thank you, Jen and Luisma. Thank you guys for just leading us in worship this morning. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to King's Cross. Good morning, King's Cross. You know what? If you're new, like if this is your first time streaming in, it'd be cool if you could just write a note and say, "Hey, I'm new. You know, hey, this is my first time." It'd be awesome if we can just really practice community even online. But yeah, we're back online, you know, and we're just reminded again, COVID isn't going anywhere anytime soon. You know, we've got a ways to go. But I want to say this, just as an encouragement and really as truth, can we take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. We are 3 weeks into a new series. Maybe it's not new anymore, but 3 weeks into the series, the I Am series. And Pastor Sarah, she started us off just 2 weeks ago. And she shared with us how Jesus says that I am the bread of life. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." That he's the only thing that can satisfy us fully and completely into eternity. And last week we looked at how Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." How Jesus is the source of life, that he is the light that drives out all darkness. And today we land on the third of the I Am statements. Jesus says, "I am the door." And next week, we'll continue actually in this same passage, and we'll continue and we'll see how Jesus also says, "I am the good shepherd." You know, this is such a great series because not only are we looking at, you know, things that Jesus did, what Jesus does, but we're looking at who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. You know, it's one thing, right? It's one thing to say, it's one thing what other people say about you. And it's another thing what a person says about him or herself, right? Now, personally, I'm often just very uncomfortable talking about myself. Like job interviews and CV resumes, like I'm so bad at it. I'm just not very good at talking about myself, and it's not because I'm not conceited in my own way, because I think that I am. And I think part of it is like I've got like this false humility, and I've got on the other end I've got like this self-esteem kind of thing. But yeah, I have a difficult time talking about myself sometimes. But at the same, like there's certain people that I love. I love when they introduce me to other people. Now I've got some friends, right? You know, I meet someone new, and they're like, "Hey, this is John. This is John." You know, and that's it. But I do. I have other friends. Like I love when I'm being introduced by certain friends. Like they just go on. They're like, "Hey, this is John. Let me tell you about John. Like he's the best. He's the coolest. Something. Right?" And they just go on and on. And I stand there. And I'm feeling a little. I'm acting like I'm uncomfortable, but inside, like I'm loving it. You know. But no, it's not. You know, not everything that is being said, like, is not really true. Anyways, it's one thing, right? It's one thing what people say about someone else, and it's another thing what a person says about him or herself. Now, Jesus, he talks about himself, and he actually talks about himself a lot. Now, in the Gospel of John, there are recorded 7 I am statements that Jesus makes about himself. And you know, I was thinking about this. Now, one of the criticisms that's leveled against Christianity in general is this idea that Jesus never says, "I am God." Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard people say that? Maybe you've said that yourself. Maybe you've wrestled with that yourself. Now, there's much to say about that that I'm not going to go into today, but I do want to say this. That statement, "Well, Jesus never says he was God." Now, that's a statement that's way, way, way too shallow, because actually Jesus says a lot about himself, and he says very clearly who he is, and he's not bragging. He doesn't have to try to pretend to be humble. He isn't insecure, but he says very clearly who he is. Now again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes 7 I am statements to tell who he is. But I want to first talk about, there's one statement that he makes that technically isn't considered one of the 7, but I believe is actually the most significant of Jesus' statements about himself that actually encompasses all of the other 7. Now, I want to go back into John chapter 8. Now, there's the scene. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees. If you know who the Pharisees are, they were the religious leaders. They were kind of like, they were the gatekeepers. They were the powerful, the people with the power in that culture, in that time. And so Jesus is constantly having these conversations, these conflicts with the Pharisees. And in this particular instance, in chapter 8, the Pharisees, they were saying, "Abraham is our father." Now, if you're new to this whole Bible thing, like, let me tell you about Abraham a little bit. Abraham is the patriarch of the Jewish people. He's the patriarch of Israel. He's the one that God called out, and God made this promise to Abraham, and he said that he would make Abraham into a great nation, and that this nation would be a blessing to the whole world. Okay, this is Abraham. And so the Pharisees, the teachers of the Jewish law, they were saying, "Abraham is our teacher." And Jesus comes back and says, "Hey, if Abraham was your father, then you would do what Abraham did, but you don't." And then there's this back and forth. And it gets to this point where the Pharisees are indignant. They are angry. They demand from Jesus. Jesus said a few things, and then they demand from Jesus. They say, "Are you saying, Jesus, that you are greater than Abraham? Are you saying that you're greater than Abraham? You're not even 50 years old, and you're talking as though you have seen Abraham." Now, Abraham, he was alive some 2,000 or more years before Jesus' time. And this is how Jesus responds. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Boom. Jesus makes this statement, and the Pharisees hear this, and they know exactly what Jesus is claiming, and they pick up stones to execute him, because what Jesus has just said is, like, to their ears, the highest form of blasphemy that deserved death. Now, Jesus was not saying, yeah, I'm more than 2,000 years old and I look great. He's not saying that. Jesus, he's claiming transcendence over time. And not only that, even when we've got to go back to the book of Exodus, where God calls the man Moses, he calls Moses to lead his people to freedom out of slavery from Egypt, okay? And Moses, he's like, no, God, he didn't say no, God. He's standing there in front of the burning bush, and God is speaking to him, and Moses is like, no, I can't do it. Don't send me. The people aren't going to believe me. And Moses asks, he says, who am I supposed to say who sent me? What is your name? And God responds, he says, I am who I am. And he tells Moses, you tell the people, Israel, you tell them that I am has sent you. See, Jesus, in this conversation with the Pharisees, he's not only saying that he is eternal, that he's transcended over time. Jesus is actually claiming to be the God who appeared to Moses. Jesus is using his Father's name, I am. Unmistakably, Jesus equates himself to God. And so the seven I am statements, they give us a little bit more insight, maybe a little bit more color, more dimension into this earth-shattering statement that Jesus makes. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And today, we look at how Jesus says, I am the door. Now, if you're like me, like to me and to my ears, like I'm like, that's kind of a weird one. I am the door. It sounds a little bit weird, but we're going to explore that a little bit today. But first, I just want to give us a little bit more context, guys. Context into what's going on. So again, we were in chapter 8. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Pharisees hear this. They want to kill him, but somehow Jesus, he bobs and he weaves and he gets out of there. He leaves the temple. Chapter 8 ends, chapter 9 begins, and Jesus is on his way out from the temple, and he and his disciples, they see a man who was blind from birth, probably begging outside of the temple. Now this passage in chapter 9, I know, like, the scripture that we're supposed to look at today is John chapter 10. We're getting there, but I want to talk about this, one, because I love this story. I love John chapter 9. But two, because it gives us kind of the backdrop. It gives us actually the backdrop of chapter 10, okay? So John chapter 9, they see this man that was born blind, and Jesus goes to him. Jesus spits on the ground. He makes mud with his saliva, and he anoints the blind man's eyes with the mud that he had just made with his spit. Crazy. And Jesus tells the man, he says, hey, go wash your face in this certain pool. And the guy's got spit mud on his face. He goes, he washes his face, and his eyes are opened. His eyes are opened. You can imagine this creates huge buzz all around him. There were people who saw the man, the guy that was born blind. They'd seen him begging. They're like, hey, isn't that the guy that was blind? Isn't that the blind beggar? And other people are like, no, that's not him. That's not him. There's no way. It just looks like him. That's not him. And he hears them. He hears them. He's like, no, that is me. I am. I was the blind beggar. Yeah, that's me. And there's all this, like, and the people, they're just like, they're so confused. They're so amazed. But they can't make sense of it. The Pharisees catch wind of this, and the man is brought before the Pharisees. And I think the reason that I love this story so much is all this back and forth. And the Pharisees, right, the religious leaders, like over and over, they bring this man and they interrogate him. They interrogate him. They interrogate him. It's as though they're trying to catch him making a mistake or to change his story a little bit. But his testimony is just so simple. He says, you know what? I don't know. I don't know who it was. I don't know exactly how he did it. I heard him spit and then he put some mud in my eyes. He told me to wash. I don't know, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. His testimony was simple. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to care for the people, the ones that should have celebrated this man's healing, they kick him out. They kick him out of the temple. And Jesus finds him. Jesus finds that man. He had just been kicked out of the temple. Jesus finds him. And in John chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus says this. He says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." And the Pharisees, they hear this. They hear Jesus say this. And they're like, "Okay, Jesus, are you saying that we're blind? Are you saying that we're blind?" Jesus responds, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say you see, your guilt remains. Now this is where John chapter 10 begins, okay? Jesus has just healed a blind man, this man whom the Pharisees reject. They reject his testimony, they reject his healing, they reject him as a person. And now the Pharisees are the ones, they're claiming to be the ones who can see, they're claiming to be the ones who are for God, who defend God, who uphold God's law, and they're calling Jesus a blasphemer, a liar, a sinner. And we get to John chapter 10, and Jesus continues talking with these religious leaders. And undoubtedly, there's now a crowd that has formed around them. Now, it is here, it is in the face of the Pharisees, in their indignation, that Jesus conveys this familiar scene of the shepherd. He conveys this scene that is familiar to everybody, the shepherd, or the work of the shepherd. Now, actually, guys, I'm gonna actually go into details of the shepherd story about the sheepfold, the sheep, the shepherd, the gatekeeper. I'm gonna go into the details of that story next week as we look at Jesus, the good shepherd. And today, I actually just wanna focus. I wanna keep it super simple, and I wanna narrow our focus to verses 7-10. So I'm gonna read again. John chapter 10, verses 7-10. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.'" Jesus is the door. He's not a door. He's not one of many doors. Jesus is the door. But it would seem that there are other doors. Now Jesus, so he says, "I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. For I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is Jesus, I am the door. And then he talks about this other side. He says, others, they're thieves and they're robbers, and the thieves have come only to steal and kill and destroy. So there's Jesus, and then there are the others. Now, there's many doors that we have come to and will come to in this life. And every door promises us something. Something that you want or that you need. And each door kind of allures us in different ways. Now, each of us, we have different temperaments, different personalities, different seasons of life, you know, different cultures. There's different doors, and each of them promises us different things. There's the door of religion. Now, Jesus targets the religious leaders, of his day. And I think that's for many different reasons, all kinds of reasons. On one end, because religion was just so profoundly woven into their everyday lives and identities. But I think maybe the more importantly, because these religious leaders, they exercised a false authority as though they could decide who was in and who was out, as though they represented God, and they did it falsely. And so Jesus, he targets the religious leaders of his day. But in our day today, there's many, many different religions, modern religions, and all these different types of isms. From Buddhism to universalism to humanism, atheism. There's the door of religion, and it promises it's something. There's the door of romance. There's the door of finance or fun or self-image or influence. The door of comfort. Of control, like there's different doors, different promises, as though if you get to that door, if you could just go through that door, then life is gonna be good. There's many doors, and every door promises something. It promises to fulfill us in some way. But actually, I wanna say this, I wanna make this argument. Actually, they all may as well be one door. They all might as well be the same door, just disguised in different ways, flavored to taste like whatever it is you feel like you want or you need. But they're the same door, and whatever flavor, whatever shape, if it's not Jesus, the door will not fulfill its promise. It will not take you where you want to go, and ultimately can only take you to death. Now, that's a heavy statement to make, I know. And I don't want to over-spiritualize, and I don't want to oversimplify. Like, can you follow Jesus and still pursue romance? Can you follow Jesus and still pursue, like, success in your business? Like, absolutely, yes, of course, yes. But there is a difference, and it could be so subtle. But there is a difference between enjoying something and depending on something. There's a difference between enjoying like God's good gifts and depending on something to fulfill us for life or purpose or identity. And it's subtle. Now, something I think that we can ask ourselves to see if maybe like we're leaning on that side of depending on something, is if we can ask ourselves, do you hold on to a thought that sounds something like this? If I just had, insert whatever that thing is, if I just had, then my life would be complete. If I just had a girlfriend, then my life would be complete. If I can just get that job or that promotion, then my life will be complete. If I could just travel the world, like then my life will be complete. Like if you ask yourself that question, and if that's something that is in you, I think that might be an indication that you are actually holding on to something depending on something that is not Jesus. Because Jesus says that he is the only door that opens into life, life abundant. Jesus says, if you enter by me, you will be saved. Because what all of us need is not more or improved life experiences. Jesus knows this, and I think all of us, like, somewhere in us, like, we know this to be true too. What all of us need is forgiveness and grace. That's what we need. We need forgiveness and grace. What we need is relationship with our Maker. We need relationship with the life giver. That is what abundant life is. Now, Pastor Sarah, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, she pointed out the difference. If you look in the Greek, there's two words that are usually used to say the word life. There's the word bios, that's the word we get the word biology. And then there's another word, zoe. And zoe is the life. It's the quality or the type, the kind of quality of life that God himself lives. It is the God life. And Jesus is talking about zoe life here. He says, I am the door. And it's through me that you can have life, zoe life, abundant life. It's almost like a magic portal. Jesus is like almost like a magic portal. Like, you go through Jesus and it opens us up into a whole new reality, a whole new dimension, a whole new space-time. Like, okay, maybe not. But Jesus, he opens us up into a real reality, an eternal reality. But it's not a magic portal. The door of Jesus is the cross of Jesus. It is through Jesus nailed to the cross, where he paid for your sins, he paid for my sins, that we are brought into relationship with God. Because on the cross, Jesus, he absorbed all of our sins, past, present, future. He absorbed all of our sins. And for those of us who have received Jesus as Savior, he absorbed all of our sins, and in his perfect obedience, his perfect righteousness is imparted on us. We are clothed in his righteousness, and we are called children of God. So, there are really only two doors before us today. One door takes on many different shapes, promises us many different things, but it is powerless and ultimately can only lead to death. The other leads to eternal life. There are two doors before us today. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. I was just thinking about different doors. And one that just kind of just like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Labyrinth. Is it 90s, 80s or 90s? David Bowie, the young Jennifer Connelly. There's a movie, Labyrinth, and there's this one scene. The character, the protagonist, she's going around in this labyrinth, this maze, and she gets to this point where she is at two doors. And this is a riddle, okay? She gets to this place where there are two doors. And in front of each door, there is a gatekeeper. I'm going to call them brothers, like twin brothers, okay? And behind one of the doors one of the doors leads to, like, the castle, the place that, like, that's where she needs to go. And the other door, I don't remember, but let's just say, leads to death, okay? She doesn't know. She doesn't know which door is which. And then she finds out also that these brothers, these gatekeepers, one of them always tells the truth, and one of them always lies. And as she's standing there, they say, you can ask one of us one question, but you don't know which one of us is telling the truth, which one is telling the lies. You can ask us one question, and then you have to make your decision, and then you go. That's the riddle. There's no way that I would be able to solve that riddle with this amount of time. Maybe you were like, and you figured it out. I'm going to spoil it. I'm going to tell you, okay? The answer is this. What she has to do, she has to go up to just one of them. Doesn't matter which one. She has to say, hey, which way would your brother tell me to go? And then you go the other way. If she asks the one who lies, then the one who lies knows that his brother always tells the truth and is going to tell her which way that she should go. So he's going to tell her the wrong way. So she should go the other way. If she asks the guy who tells the truth, the guy who tells the truth knows that his brother's a liar. And he's going to say, well, the liar is going to say this. And so she hears that and she goes the other way. Okay, that's the riddle. But here's real life. Jesus always tells the truth. The thief, the enemy, always lies. But his lies are so seductive. But here's real life, though. We're not limited to one question. We're not limited to one moment where we have to make one choice and make one decision and then just go. Thank God, he continues to give us grace. He pours out grace. He gives us chance after chance after chance, so graciously, patiently giving us opportunities to respond to him. But at the same time, here's the urgency today. We don't know how many more chances we have. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen in the next moment. And I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to be like threatening or anything like that. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. Jesus is calling us into life, into abundant life, into Zoe life. Why should you wait? Why should we wait? If Jesus is all that he says he is, that in coming to him, in leaving everything else behind, in closing all the other doors, and leaving all the other doors behind, and coming to Jesus, we're not missing out on anything. Why wait? He's calling to us now. Come into life, into abundant life. I want to give us a chance to pray. And this is simple. If this is your first time or your 700th time, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. And he says, I am the door. If anyone comes through me, he will be saved. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. We come to Jesus. We come to the door and enter by him. Lord, I pray for those who are listening, who maybe are being challenged, being invited for the first time. And I pray, Jesus, that you would, Jesus, call them. call them to yourself. They will see you, Jesus. That you are all that you say that you are. I pray for those of us, Lord, who have accepted you, who call you Savior and Lord. And God, we get so distracted by all these other things, all these other doors. God, the thief, the liar, he is so seductive. Would you tune our ears that we would hear you, Jesus? That we would be recommitted, Lord, in your promise. God, that we enter by you and that we stay with you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.